Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. And in studying the Bible and understanding the Bible, what does it say? What does it not say? And in understanding the Bible, one of the most frequent errors that people make is this. They read into it what they believe when they come to it. Rather than searching the Scriptures daily as the Bereans did, and proving all things and holding fast to what is good, people come and make their assumptions and then develop their own private little Christianity, which has nothing to do with God. And one of the greatest hoaxes that has ever been perpetrated upon those who supposedly believe in Jesus Christ, and that is that Peter was the first pope, and that he came to Rome in 42 A.D., and that as the first pope, God has built his church on that man. Now that contradicts what the Bible says. The Bible says Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. Jesus Christ is the head of the church and no man. So the Pope cannot be the vicar or the replacement of Christ on earth. So did Peter ever go to Rome? Now remember, Peter was a Jew. So let's see what happened after what we covered in the last segment in Acts, the 11th chapter, after Peter brought the gospel to the band of Italians and those of Cornelius, who were from Italy, and preached the gospel to them, and they received the Holy Spirit, and then they were baptized. Now, God had to do this to break the bonds of that belief concerning Judaism, and was later carried over by the Pharisees, that it is impossible to be saved unless you are circumcised in the flesh. Now then, we will see the timing of what Peter did. We came up through about Acts 11, and that was up to about 38 A.D. And someone's going to say, well, how do you know that's an accurate date? Well, we're just about ready to get to that point, okay? And then we will see what happened to Peter. Where did he go? And it wasn't Rome. Now, let's continue on. Here in Acts, the 11th chapter, we find this, verse 19. Now those who had been scattered by the persecutions that arose concerning Stephen went through Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except the Jews only. But certain men among them who were Cypriots and Cyrenians came to Antioch and spoke to the Greeks concerning the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was upon them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Now following through with what God did through Peter. Here are Gentiles, Greeks, uncircumcised, they believe. Now what are you going to do when they believe? While Judaism says, let's take them out and have a circumcision party. God says, repent and be baptized and receive the Holy Spirit, and you will receive the circumcision of the heart and mind, which is a higher standard for circumcision. Circumcision was not abolished by Christ. Circumcision of the flesh was superseded by circumcision of the heart. Now, we'll talk about that a little later, but let's go on here. Verse 22. Now the report concerning them was heard in the ears of the church that was in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. Now Antioch is up there in Syria. And when people go over to Babylon, Antioch is a stopping place before they go east. And I want you to keep that in mind. Verse 23, when he arrived and saw the grace of God, he rejoiced and exhorted them all to cleave to the Lord with purpose of heart. Now, this is important for you to understand. Cleave means to cleave, become one. See? Cleave to the Lord with purpose of heart, with a circumcised heart, through baptism and receiving the Holy Spirit. Now it talks about Barnabas a little more here, verse 24. For he was a good man and was filled with the Holy Spirit and with faith, and a large multitude was added to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to seek Saul, and after finding him, he brought him to Antioch. And it came to pass that for a whole year they assembled together with the church and taught a great multitude, and in Antioch the disciples were first called Christians. Now we're getting a little time flow. Now we're going to get another very important historical, verifiable date and year. So let's read it. Verse 27. Now in those days, prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch, and one from among them, named Agabus, stood up and signified by the Spirit that there would be a great famine throughout the whole world, which also came to pass under Claudius Caesar. Stop. Claudius Caesar. When was he made Caesar? You can look up in any encyclopedia, you can go online, and you will find out that Claudius Caesar was made Emperor of Rome January 25th, 41 A.D. So, we are in 41 A.D. So here's what happened. And each of the disciples, everyone according as he had purposed, determined to send relief to the brethren dwelling in Judea, which they also did, sending it to the elders by the hand of Barnabas and Saul. Now Saul was the one who became Paul. Now let's notice something else that Claudius Caesar did. Herod Agrippa I was made king of Judea by Claudius in the spring of 41 AD. Now, if you have the chronology of the New Testament proves Peter was never in Rome. You follow along with it. And we know that the dates are right. 41 AD and reigning 3 years until the spring of 44 AD when he dies. All right. Let's see why then we have Acts the 12th chapter and what this tells us. This tells us about what happened. This tells us about Peter. And we can find from this that he never went to Rome. So let's come to Acts the 12th chapter here. See, this is why. You have to put everything together. You cannot come and read the Bible and think you know it and believe it. You've got to prove it. And you prove it by the Bible, because the Bible proves itself, and it is provable through true history. That's why you need the book, The Appointed Times of Jesus the Messiah, and the book, The Day Jesus the Christ Died. You need those to understand what happened in the timing of Jesus' life and how things came together. Then you also need the book, Judaism, A Revelation of Moses or a Religion of Men. Now, let's come to Acts, the 12th chapter, verse 23, that Herod was smitten with worms and he died. So, Agrippa was king 3 years, 41, 42, and 43. Interesting, isn't it? Let's see what happened. Acts 12 and verse 1. Now about that time, Herod the king, who was Herod Agrippa the king, Herod the first, stretched forth his hands to persecute some of those of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And when he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to take Peter also. Now these were the days of unleavened bread. Little sidebar here. Everything in the Bible relates time to the holy days of God, the Sabbath and the holy days of God. Notice what happened. And I really love this account here. This is great. And after arresting him, put him in prison, delivering him to four sets of four soldiers to guard him, with the intent of bringing him out to the people after the Passover season. So here's Peter in jail, in chains, and there are 16 soldiers guarding him. Let's see what happened. When Herod was about to bring him out, and probably to kill him, and there were guards standing at the doors, verse 7, but suddenly an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shined in the building, and after striking Peter on the side, he roused him, saying, "Get up, hurry." And the chains fell off his hands. Plink! And the angel said to him, "Put on your clothes and fasten your sandals." And he did so. And he said to him, "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me." So he followed him and went out past the guards. The doors automatically open and the iron gates at the end automatically open. And Peter escaped. Now, Peter thought that it was a vision, but he came to himself and realized that it was true. Verse 11, when Peter came to himself, he said, "Now I truly understand that the Lord sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews." So then he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, surnamed Mark. Verse 12, Peter came up to the door. "Hello, let me in." And one of the girls came and went there, and she said, "I hear Peter's voice." And she was so excited, she didn't open the door to let him in. So she went and said, "Peter's at the door." And they all said, "No, he can't be. He's in jail." "No, he's at the door." So they finally went to the door and let him in. Verse 15, but they said to her, "You're out of your mind." Yet she strongly affirmed that it was so, and they said, "It's his angel." But Peter continued knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were amazed. Then motioning to them with his hands to be silent, he related to them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, "Report these things to James." Now this James is the half-brother of Jesus, because James, the son of John, had already been killed before Peter was put in prison. Then he departed and went to another place. Mark that verse. It doesn't say Rome. Where did he go? Now remember, Peter was a fugitive. Peter escaped from a Roman jail. Peter, anywhere the Roman Empire would be a hunted man, and they would get him. Okay? Where did he go? Now let's understand something else. The Romans or Italians were Gentiles and were not circumcised. So let's see what Paul writes concerning Peter's mission as an apostle, and we can determine which direction he went to that other place. Now let's pick it up here in Galatians 2, verse 8. For he, that is Christ, who wrought in Peter for the apostleship of the circumcision. If Peter would have gone to Rome, he would have gone to the uncircumcised Gentiles. And after recognizing the grace that was given to me, James, that is the brother of Jesus, Cephas, that is Peter, and John, that is the Apostle John, those reputed to be pillars, gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, affirming that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcision. All right. Peter left. Where did he go? Well, you need to understand from the book of Acts that something really important happened after Claudius was named Caesar. And this was done in 41 AD. Now, Claudius Caesar made many decrees getting rid of the Jews out of Italy and Rome and restricting the Jews in the other major cities of Egypt and Syria. Now, let's come to Acts 18 and verse 1. Now, after these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth. And there he found a certain Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with Priscilla his wife, because Claudius had ordered all the Jews out of Rome. Now then, think of this. If Peter would have gone to Rome, he's already late going to Rome, because what happened was, as we read in Acts the 12th chapter, was in 43 AD. And it is claimed by the Catholics that Peter came to Rome in 42 AD. Wrong, wrong, wrong. A lie. He was not there. He was still in Judea. And furthermore, he was in prison. And then God let him out of there, and he went to another place. Where do you suppose that Peter would go, since he was an apostle, to the circumcision? Question. Where were the greatest number of Jews at that time? They were in Babylon, beyond the bounds of the Roman Empire. And there were more Jews in Babylon than there were in Judea or scattered in other areas of the Roman Empire. So where do you suppose that Peter would go? He had to go to those of the circumcision. That means the Jews in the diaspora. Peter went to Babylon. Peter never went to Rome. Now you read the first epistle of Peter. You read it all the way through, and when you come to the end, here is what Peter wrote. And this identifies where Peter had gone. Went to some other place where the Romans couldn't get him. Verse 13, 1 Peter 5. The church in Babylon, chosen together with you, greets you, as does Mark, my son. And that is Mark, my son, in the faith. The church in Babylon. Now, you know how those of Catholicism get around this. They say, well, that's just a euphemism for Rome. Of course not. If Peter were in Rome, he would have said so. I will prove it to you. Let's come to the last part of the book of Acts. Now you see, Paul was arrested, kept in custody, spent some time in Caesarea, and was there from 58 AD, 2 years there in Caesarea before he was sent to Rome because he appealed to Rome. And he arrived in Rome in the spring of 61 AD when Paul arrived in Rome. He was given a house that he could do his sentence in until he could make his appeal to the Roman court. Let's pick it up here in Acts 28 and verse 17. Now remember, this is in 60 AD. That is 7 years after Claudius Caesar died. Verse 17. Now it came to pass that after 3 days, Paul called together those who were chief among the Jews. And when they had come together, he said to them, "Men and brethren, though I have done nothing against the people or the customs of our fathers, I was delivered into the hands of the Romans as a prisoner from Jerusalem. After examining me, they desired to let me go, because there was not one cause of death in me. But when the Jews objected, I was compelled to appeal to Caesar, not as though I had done anything to charge against my nation. For this cause, then, I have called for you in order that I might see you and speak to you, because it is for the hope of Israel that I have this chain around me." So here Paul called them to him, called the leaders of the Jews. Now, let's see what their answer was. If Peter had gone to Rome in 42 AD, and he couldn't have because he was still in the land of Judea in 43 AD, and then he left, and we find him in Babylon, he never got to Rome. But if he had gotten to Rome, what would the Jews have said? "Oh, well, we've had Peter here for a long time. He's taught us all these things. We know all about Jesus. We're all converted." Really? Verse 21, Acts 28, here's what the Jews answered Paul. "Then they said to him, 'We have neither received letters concerning you from Judea, nor have any of the brethren who have arrived reported anything or spoken evil of you. But we would like to hear from you and to know what you think, because we are indeed very aware that this sect is everywhere spoken against.'" Not a word about Peter. Not a word about Peter. I'll repeat it again. Not a word about Peter at Rome. So, Paul preached to them. They hadn't heard the gospel preached to them. If Peter had gone to Rome, he would have preached the gospel. But Peter was an apostle to the circumcision, so therefore he went to Babylon to get away from the Roman Empire, because he was a wanted criminal who had escaped from the jail of Herod Agrippa I, who was appointed as king over Judea. He could not go anywhere in the Roman Empire. He never went to Rome. These Jews did not know anything about it, nor had any of the Gentiles heard about it, except those who were converted and went to Rome later. Now, we'll cover a couple of more things concerning this in the next segment, about what the Apostle Paul taught and taught to the Romans, and how that he never acknowledged Peter being in Rome one single time. Peter never went to Rome. So how can the so-called largest Christian church in the world have that as a foundational belief for the reason that they exist, because Peter went to Rome? That is not true. And if you believe that, you have been deceived, and you know nothing about God. Now, I hope this helps you come to a greater understanding of what you need to do if you want to know about God and know about the Bible and know about the truth. You've got to come to God His way. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. So until next time, this is Fred Coulter saying, so long, everyone.